Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. I want to talk about this important topic today because I always say in this ministry, I think we have a sin issue. Today, I think we don't take sin seriously, and I think it's not just part of non-believers' lives, but even believers' lives, and it's something we need to take seriously because sin is very contagious. I often say we should treat sin the way we treat the viruses that are out there today. When somebody's walking down the street and you hear they have a virus, you try to do your best to avoid them. Well, we need to be social distancing from sinners and sin in general and not have it to be any part of our lives. But even though we know this and the words I'm saying sound very catchy and interesting, the fact is people still struggle with sin. And the question people have is, why does sin exist in the world if Yeshua came to take away the sin of the world? Well, I do a lot of teachings and studying on the scriptures, and the scriptures clearly show that there's a battle going on for our souls, as it says in Ephesians. And it's a battle that is taking place every single moment. And the enemy, the devil, is trying to get us to sin. Sin is against the Creator's guidelines and instructions. Sin is transgression of the Torah, which is the law or the commandments. And it's gotten so much bad today or so bad today that the church or the devil has convinced the church to convince the people that it is okay to live in sin. And you might hear that and say, what are you talking about? Well, the church says the Torah, the instructions, the commandments have been nailed to the cross and we no longer need to follow them. In essence, the church is teaching that it's okay to live in sin and there are no consequences, but there are severe consequences to sin. And this is why so many people suffer out there today. But just because we know what I'm talking about right now does not excuse us from the struggles of sin, because we see all throughout scripture, King David, a man of Yahweh's own heart, and even the Apostle Paul struggling with sin. So the question remains, if Yeshua came to take away the sins, why does sin exist? And why do we struggle with it? And how can we overcome it? So in today's study, I'm going to be reading from a book, Biblical Foundations of Freedom by Art Mathias, which is a wonderful book that helps us identify Satan's demons to overcome them. But the question of why does sin exist is something we need to ponder, and also how to identify it, and also how to identify the enemy, how to identify his demons, and understand about this spiritual battle that's taken place, that it's not something that many people understand or know about. In Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, and against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We must understand how to identify the enemy to defeat the enemy, and that is so important. So why does sin exist in this world? We're going to look at a good amount of scriptures today to cover this and hopefully help us all with the personal struggles we might have or think we have with sin. The question arises because it says in the Bible, in John 1:29, clearly, that Yeshua came to the earth to take away the sin of the world. Since Yeshua came to take away the sin of the world, why is sin still here? And we read in John 1:29, the next day, John saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of Yahweh who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of Yahweh who takes away the sin of the world. Some Christians are sneered by the theological trap that claims, I'm born again and I'm spirit-filled. Yeshua paid the price. It is finished and I am immune to the devil and his ways. And this is a common trap of so many people today, or so many ministries today that teach this, that we are immune to the devil. And it says here in the scriptures, all my past, present, and future sins are automatically forgiven, is what people think or what people are taught. If so, why are they oppressed, depressed, filled with disease, and have all types of evil operating in their lives? Why do they consistently repeat the same old lies, even when they know the truth? A great question to ponder and ask ourselves. Why do we suffer and struggle with sin if Yeshua came to take the sin away? Because that is something that the church is teaching, and the church has been deceived to believe this. We need to look at the words of Scripture and not just listen to the pastors at our churches that are so deceived in so many ways. Let's wake up, acknowledge and learn about our enemy, and then defeat him. That's what must be done. We must wake up and learn about the enemy if we desire to defeat him. Wake up and learn about his traps and the evil things he does if we want to defeat him, and understand these things. We have the power and the ability to do this because the provision has been made and the debt has been paid. Under the we have the Rahadah Kodesh living in us, but the work of Yeshua on the cross and his resurrection must be appropriated in our lives each day. We must forgive others, or Yahweh does not forgive us. So we see the sin of unforgiveness and how it affects us directly. It says in Matthew 6:14-15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to give others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So now we see the connection here of the responsibility of understanding that the Torah, the commandments of our Creator, are an action. It says in the Scriptures, do not add or take away, but keep my commandments. They are an action and it must take place. Understand sin has consequences. And if we want to be released from these consequences, we must understand the steps to do so. And just by accepting Yeshua as our Messiah does not release us from the consequences. We must take the action and fulfill the Torah and keep the guidelines and instructions that our Creator gave us, the steps, the instructions of how to get these sins out of our lives, these struggles with sins away from us, and not to pay for the sins in our lives. As we just read in Matthew 6:14-15, if we refuse to forgive others, there's no forgiveness for our sins. That's a tremendous problem. So many people out there today are walking around bitter and with unforgiveness. And then they suffer from the consequence of sin in their own lives because they're not willing to forgive others that have created or done things to hurt them. But that's not the example of Yeshua, our Messiah. And this is a key thing to understand, especially when it comes to a spiritual warfare. We must understand the sin of unforgiveness. We must understand how that affects us. We must do better. If we confess our sins, he will cleanse us. As it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he will cleanse us. So we must understand that. We must confess our sins. If we do not forgive others or do not confess our sins, we must become doers. It says, what happens if we do not forgive others or do not confess our sins? First of all, you have to know what a sin is to confess it, right? So we need to know the word and have the understanding of the word. But what happens if we don't forgive others and we don't confess our sins? If we do not forgive others or do not confess our sins, we must be doers of his word and not hearers. We must be doers. Take that action and make that happen. Romans 2:13 says, for merely listening to the law does not make us right with Yahweh. It's obeying the commandments that make us right in his sight. It says in James 1:23-25, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your fence, at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then Yahweh will bless you for doing it. Do you understand the blessings of obedience versus the disobedience of curses? I don't believe the church today gets the concept and understands that. If they did, they wouldn't be teaching people to live in sin. That's what's happening in the common church today. They're teaching people that the commandments are done away with and it's okay to live against the instructions of our Creator. You need to understand the Old Testament and the New Testament are not two books. It's one book. Rip out that page that separates the two. The commandments found in the first five books of the Bible. And it's not only 10, by the way. There's over 600 that we need to be obedient today. And people say, well, of those 600, how is it possible to keep all of them? You know, people today say they can't even keep 10. They say, we're not perfect. How can we keep 10 commandments? The percentage of 10 over 600 is so small. If you can't keep 10, how do you expect to keep 600? And the answer is we don't need to keep 600 because we can't keep 600. And not all of them apply to us today. But we must learn to keep the commandments that do apply to us today. Certainly the 10 commandments. But beyond that, the commandments of the calendar of our Creator, the commandments of what our Creator tells us to do and not do, the food laws and the guidelines and instructions. Nowhere did he say this is done away with in the Word. But the church teaches different. And this is a big problem. Starting out, the Ten Commandments is easy and simple. And then Yeshua says, of all the commandments, the greatest commandment is love. Well, if you're not keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, as it says in the Word, our Creator says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments and my yoke is easy. No, we don't need to keep all 613 commandments. I'm not a woman. Many of the commandments are for women. I'm not a farmer. Many of the commandments are for farmers. Many commandments are related to the sacrificial system of the temple that's no longer there and they can't be kept. But does that not excuse us from the commandments we can keep, like the Sabbath, the holy feast days, the cleaning and eating of the clean and unclean food, and all the other the commandments that the principles of the commandments and all these things. But the church is just teaching against us today. And this is where spiritual warfare is taken over. So when we think about the question of why does sin exist in the world today, because the devil is very deceiving and he's deceiving people. Being born again does not make us immune to evil. It means we have the power to overcome evil. That is so powerful. Accepting Yeshua, getting baptized and being born again does not automatically make you immune to evil. What it does, it gives you the power through the instructions of our Creator to overcome evil. Powerful concept. Powerful concept. Yeshua died for sin as the ultimate sacrifice and rose again to give us the power to defeat Satan. The power to defeat him is within us. We have that power, as it says in 1 John 2:14, I have written to you who are Yahweh's children, because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Yeshua, who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith, because you are strong. Yahweh's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. It goes on to say in 1 John 4:4, but you belong to Yahweh, my dear children. You have already won the victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. So he's given us the power to defeat these things in our lives that have tormented us for so long. The blood of Yeshua is the ultimate atonement for forgiveness of sins. The original covenant had animal sacrifices provided with a covering for sins, but no forgiveness. Yeshua's blood provides total forgiveness of sins. If we forgive others and ask Yahweh to forgive us. If we forgive others and ask Yahweh to forgive us. His resurrected life gives us access to the victorious power of the Ruach Kodesh, the set apart Holy Spirit. We have the access to it, but we must forgive others. The forgiveness, the sin of unforgiveness, is one of the biggest issues in our lives today. And we'll look at that in another teaching here. We'll get more into that. While the cross brought forgiveness, the power of the believer's faith comes from the indwelling of the Ruach Kodesh. In this way, we have all that Yahweh wanted us to have. In Yahweh, Yeshua, the Ruach Kodesh, all living in us. Yeshua said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, as it says in the scriptures, in John 14:9. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Yeshua replied, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? This is a completely important concept to understand if you want to understand Yeshua. Yeshua is Yahweh. You must understand that and get that concept down. If you have seen him, you've seen the Father because they are one. You must understand that to understand forgiveness, to understand how to forgive, to understand how to love, the greatest commandment. And it talks about that in the scriptures. Just like he was telling Philip in John 14:9, it should be true in our lives today. We should be manifesting the nature of Yahweh as Yeshua did. Just as the people see Yahweh's nature in our actions, hear him in our speech, and understand him in our attitudes. This can happen only through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh acting in and through us. The Holy Spirit has been sent to convict us of our sins and help us to defeat Satan's lies in our lives. And I tell people all the time, the Holy Spirit will never make you feel good about living in sin. There's many different spirits out there, though, so we need to be careful and understand which spirit is leading us. The Holy Spirit will never let you feel good about living in sin. So when you know what sin is, and if you feel okay with it, if you don't think it's serious, if you don't fear sin, if you don't want to be around sin, if you don't hate sin, you need to think about which spirit is controlling you and what demons are out there and how they work. Sometimes we think that if others around us would only get their act together, we could live more holy and peaceful lives. But holiness doesn't depend on somebody else's life. It starts in our own life. We are told not to judge others. We are told to look first into our own spirit. Matthew 7 verse 5 says, hypocrite, first get the log out of your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eyes. It teaches us not to worry about the little speck in somebody else's eyes, but to get the beam, the big log, out of our own eyes. We have to understand why Yeshua came. He came to take away the sin of the world, and he came that we might have life and freedom and have it more abundantly. His gift of life means that we can triumph over Satan's warfare against us as he tries to steal our peace and our health. But we understand that the enemy, Satan, can only steal our peace if we choose to let him. That is so powerful. And sadly, that's what many people are doing through their actions. But it is a choice that we have. John, 1 John 3:8 says, But when people keep on sinning, it shows that we belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of Yahweh came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy them. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh came to destroy the works of the devil. This is an awesome truth. And because he lives in us, we can do the same thing in our lives. We do not have to commit sin. We do not have to commit sin. Remember, it's a choice. Some teach that we will never be able to accomplish this until we are in heaven. Where is your faith? Our Creator did not give us the instructions and the guidelines to break them. He gave them to us to understand and to keep them. It is the living power of Yeshua that will help us overcome these things. The power that we all have. It says in John 8, verse 34, Yeshua replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to the devil. The nature of Satan represents sin, and he uses his evil power to sway us towards him. When we yield to him and his evil nature, so that it shows in our action, it becomes our sin. Then we become sinful beings who need to repent and to be cleansed by Yahweh. That's what we have to understand. In the Bible, it says, if we ask Yahweh to forgive us, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful to forgive us all our wickedness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says that if we don't forgive others, Yahweh will not forgive us, thus emphasizing and our responsibility and part of the process. Yahweh does his work through us. As we read here in Matthew 6, 14 to 15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I am telling you this, everybody, that you understand the issues that we have today. We are to walk around in joy, not walk around in bitterness and unforgiveness. Not walk around with these emotions of the enemy that's going on in this spiritual battle that I remind you that's taking place. Yahweh wants us to confess when we have yielded to Satan and his kingdom. True repentance is godly sorrow for our own sins against Yahweh. And evidence is a complete turning away from sin. Then we will receive Yahweh's cleansing and blessing. It also is our responsibility to resist the devil. Once we have repented, the devil will come and tempt us to return to sin. We must learn to say no to the devil. And we look at that. It says in the scriptures in James 4 verse 7, so humble yourselves before Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We must learn to resist the devil. Before and after the act of repentance is a time of spiritual warfare within us that is addressed in Romans 7:22-23, which says, I love Yahweh's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. The power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Some people serve sin in many ways. They serve many unclean spirits. The Bible says that if you continually commit sin, you become a slave. John 8:34 reads that Yeshua replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. The Greek word for servant is doulos, and it means voluntary or involuntary slave, and is frequently used for someone in subjection, a servant. A person who is bound by alcohol or drug addiction has been a slave to sin. This positions them as a slave to one or more evil spirits who control their actions and attitudes. If it were not so, they would have the freedom to resist the sin that lives, that such addictions inevitably creates. Many people struggle with pornography and obscenity and obsessive or compulsive behavior, and others unclean and destructive habits. Some struggle more in common problems such as hatred, anger, bitterness. If a person can't stop hating, they have been a slave to the demon of hate, and hate has become their master. A person who is filled with criticism has been a slave to the spirit of criticism. It becomes natural for them to criticize because a critical spirit has been their master. Loss of self-control over all aspects of our life indicates that sin has made us unable to exercise our free will under Yahweh's control. Sin becomes our master and we are enslaved. The sooner we recognize this truth and deal honestly with ourselves and with Yahweh, the quicker we will be set free. It says in Romans 7:15-16, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But I know that I am doing what is wrong. This shows that I agree. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. That the law is good. Paul being very honest with us, that even he struggled with sin. He was struggling with why he did what he did, and he hated it. He did not want to do it, and why he did not do what he wanted or allowed. He admitted that when he sinned, it was a calling, the law of sin good and the law of God evil. Paul wrote in Romans 7:17-20. So I am not the only doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that this is my sinful nature, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what is wrong. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin within me that is doing it. Paul was painfully honest about his own struggles with sin. But he had learned how to separate himself from it. He loved himself, but he hated sin. He recognized that his old nature or his flesh was not him. It was not part of Paul that was created before the foundations of the world of Yahweh's image. It was added by Satan at the fall of man when Adam sinned. He also recognized that because of the renewed covenant, we can crucify the flesh and have a new victory over sin that dwells in us, because now we have the power of Yahshua, our wonderful Messiah, on our side, able to overcome and able to conquer. It says in Romans 7:23-25, but there is another powerful within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then verse 25 says, thank Yahweh. The answer is Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey Yahweh's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Yeshua is our deliverer from the body of death. He is our deliverer from sin and disease. He came to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. As we read here in Isaiah 61, 1-3, the good news of the oppressed. The spirit of the sovereign Elohim is upon me, for Yahweh has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of Yahweh's favor has come, and with it the day of Yahweh's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festival praise instead of despair. In the righteousness, they will be like great oaks that Yahweh has planted for his own glory. Hallelujah. But we understand Yeshua and his blood and what it's done for us. So praise Yahweh. I pray that we can overcome, and you will overcome all your sins and your struggles with sin through this word that's been given through scripture. And I know some of you out there today are deceived to think that you're better than what we discussed today. But remember, the enemy is roaring around, trying to kill and destroy, trying to destroy, separate, and divide. But we must understand. We must understand and identify him and his ways. Unforgiveness, hatred, and all these different things are not of him. Are not of him. Loving violence, jealousy and envy, condemnation, pride, guilt, lying, lust, and greed are not things of Yahweh. Unforgiveness, self-pity, and gossip, and self-centeredness are not things of him. We must seek the things of love, joy, and peace, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith. We must seek these things, forgiveness, compassion, devotion, and truth, and loving mercy. And thank you, Yah, for giving us the example in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, to carry these things out. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yahweh be with you all, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other.